Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. Today's programme continues with the Seddon tapes. Mildewed cassettes, reel-to-reel tapes and numerous mouldy VHS recordings. Captain Seddon, Royal Signals retired, would habitually recycle cassettes salvaged from the local tip. And he would then record over the top of these found recordings, regardless of their content. In this particular case, he assumed wrongly that his recording would erase the previous recording. Instead, the pre-existing recording remains, resulting in an accidental and unlikely superimposition with Morris's telephone conversation laid over a funky disco background. The telephone conversations date from February 2004, comprising two similar lengthy conversations about vintage motorcycles for sale. The cassette is labelled by Captain Seddon as unerasable.
Slowly and loudly, after the bleep. Your message will
be... Please hold on until the answering machine goes off the line. Hold on, please. Hold on a bit longer. Hello? Yes? Yes. Practical what? Yes. Well, I'm glad to tell you what I've got. First of all, could you tell me where you heard of this? And shader, right. Could you please give me your name? Charles what? Is that spelled? Very unusual. Never heard of that before. Where does it come from? Do you know? Oh, I see. No, I wondered where the name came from. You see, I'm what they call a bloody foreigner. I'm Hanoverian German hyphen French hyphen English, so languages and words fascinate me more than most people. Oh, I see. You've never traced back where the name came from?
It may have been Glade, a variation of Glade.
Yes, yes, I see. Interesting. Right. On your landline telephone, please. 01189. 01. 627. So that is 011 62 526. I hope you'll forgive me if I introduce all this by explaining the rather strange and rather sad circumstances which forced the sale, which now has to take place of various things, including the motorbike. First, I'm very ancient. I'm 77. How old are you? Oh, you're coming on very well. At 41, you probably don't know about. You might have done. Have you heard of the pensions crisis? You may know that some are destitute, and others like me are down, in my case, to 46% of what we normally receive beforehand and should still be receiving, less than half. So therefore one is forced to look elsewhere to try and turn something into money. That therefore means that a lot of things which normally for sentimental reasons one would have kept indefinitely, in fact get sold. That includes the motorbikes. So in view of that special circumstance, which is an ongoing problem, it isn't a thing which stops today or tomorrow, it goes on for the rest of my life, I have to be very, very careful that I don't undersell anything. There must therefore be no hurry in selling anything. Rather sell it slowly, if necessary over years, but get a satisfactory price for it, because otherwise my future finance is very poor. Now, as to the bikes, throughout my life, or most of my life, I've been a very keen motorcyclist. I have I have bits of motorcycles of which I have enormous quantities, namely for the makes of BSA, B33 and B31. Over and above that, I have two only B33 complete machines. Now, I must explain them to you because they're quite different from most people's motorbikes. I don't suppose you know, you might know. There was a period of my life which ended about 10 years ago and which lasted about 10 or 15 years, during which I was in incessant demand as a very humble inventor to appear on television literally all over the world without the slightest exaggeration. Everything from Johnny Carson in America, have you heard of that? Have you heard, that was Los Angeles. Have you heard of David Letterman in New York? Well, I had to go two or three times there. Being half German, Sender Freies Berlin, ARD, WDR, Rundung Big Ben, Ausland, Treffpunkt, London, and many others. To say nothing of BBC One, BBC Two, ITV, Channel 4, British Satellite Broadcasting, Swedish Television, Nyhetsmaskinen, Australian Television Channel 7, three separate documentaries, Jonathan Ross twice, spaced by about 6 years, Johnny, what was that other fellow's name? Russell Harty, and countless others. Anyway, the whole thing revolved around the fact that I suffer from a medical problem, and I'm also an inventor, and I applied my inventive skill to offset the problems of the medical difficulties by inventing a whole range of electrically heated clothing. All this television exposure stopped almost 10 years ago. Did you ever see or hear anything about it? Don't know. You could also have seen articles in every single British motorbike magazine about these things. My name, by the way, is Captain Maurice Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N. I'm a retired regular Royal Signals wireless boffin, and I'm the most unmilitary creature that ever crept. I'm purely a boffin. Anyway, now, the result of all this was that the two motorbikes, alternately, were seen with me on these television broadcasts on countless occasions on TV. Now, in order to fulfil their purpose for me personally, they had to have a characteristic which no old British motorbike has ever possessed, namely the ability to supply copious quantities of electricity. So there again, invention came to the fore, and what I had to do was to devise my own personal, completely unique modification, which was applied to both motorcycles, to enable them to produce countless more watts than the makers had ever dreamed possible. Because whilst I love old British motorbikes, I think they're glorious, their electrical performance is so appalling that it's beyond description. So what I did was to eject, lock, stock and barrel, the whole of the British electrical system from both machines, retaining only the magneto for the spark ignition, which is very good. No problem there. And I substituted my own unique electrical system on both, which enabled me to have halogen main beam, halogen dip beam, halogen daylight riding lamp, high power twin trumpet wind tone horns, masses of spare electricity, and all the electricity I needed for the heated clothing. By the way, I'm now sitting in an almost unheated room, and I'm a glow of warmth thanks to the electrically heated insoles, which are my invention, which are switched on and working at this moment as we speak, supplied from my wind power plant. So anyway, the machines are therefore unique because of their electric system. And they are also unique because they're television personalities of the past, of course. So, for these reasons, I'm asking a higher than normal price for that type of machine. I'm asking 3,000 each. Whether I shall get 3,000, I don't know, but I might go down a little bit, but I can't afford to go down very much. One is 1955, the other is 1960. And they're B33. Do you know that model at all? It's 500cc.
Yeah, I know the A7, is that...
No, A7, if I'm not mistaken, has two cylinders, am I right? No, these are both single-cylinder, really old-fashioned, traditional English ploggers. They are low performance, incredibly high reliability, and very long-lived motorcycles. They just plod, 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 plod. Well, they're not absolute ploggers. To be that, they would be side valve. They're one stage up on that. They are overhead valve, and they are distinctly low performance. And the whole aim and object is reliability, which is tremendous. Well, to give you an idea of their reliability, I, being Hanoverian German hyphen French hyphen English, having a sister who lived 43 years in Italy, and Italian overtones in my ancestry, about 19... Oh, I don't know anymore what year it was. I should think about 1974, when I was, of course, very much younger. I took one of these machines on a journey which from my door near Windsor back to my door near Windsor spread over a period of about 2.5 months. I covered on one of those machines 7,400 and something miles. That gives you some idea of the reliability of the thing, with a very heavy load of baggage on the machine. And I went to Rome and to Sorrento and all over Italy and to visit friends and relatives in France, and to Hildesheim in Germany, where my mother comes from, and Hanover, and, Kreuz und quer, we say, across Europe. And it was over 7,000 miles, and it went like a bird. Very slowly, very reliably. Now, I'm one of those people who deprecates restoration. I do not like restoration at all.
The only two in the period you named. Are you interested in something of 1928? A very, very rare BSA 557. I say again, 557 CC. Side valve. Have you ever heard of any motorbike of any make of 557 CC? Nor have I. I have one. It's evidently very rare. It's a vertical single cylinder, whereas the commonplace BSA of that time was a sloper. The engine was at an angle, so it was known as a sloper. This is not a sloper, it's vertical. It hasn't got footrests, it has running boards, one on each side, and it has knee guards for each knee and shin. It has a square box-like petrol tank with two filler caps, one for oil, one for petrol. The oil, of course, in a separate compartment. It has two oil pumps, a hand pump, which all the earlier machines always had. Are you familiar with the hand pump? Pump it down every 5 miles. And if you don't, the engine seizes up and destroys itself. It also was one of the first machines to have a mechanical oil pump, which, however, was so badly conceived that it fell to pieces, literally. The metal failed. It was called monkey metal. It broke up. And that is in a polythene bag and accompanies the machine, but is in no way necessary to the use of the machine, because you just use the hand pump. 28. Evidently extremely rare. I don't know how to price that at all. All I can say is that I've got to be very cautious, and all I can do is that I mayn't, as I said, undersell anything. So all I can do on that one is to note any offers, and then at a later date sell to the highest bidder. Or if the bidder isn't high enough, then wait a year or two or five when the price structure will have changed. Anything else that I have? Oh yes, I have one other thing that doesn't work. It's a wreck. I bought it as a wreck and it's never changed. It's a thing called L.E. Velocet. Have you ever heard of that animal? Well, it was used by the police. It's a sort of sheet metal box body construction. It has no tubular frame at all. Two cylinders, horizontally opposed, water-cooled, and it's in four pieces, the front, the back, and the middle, which is the engine. And the fourth piece is one of the cylinder heads, which the previous owner took off to look inside. It doesn't go, of course. It needs a lot of work in putting together. Probably something wrong with the engine, which will need repairing. But it's there if it's wanted. Completely open to offers. I have no document for that at all. Oh, by the way, the 1928, of course, I do have a document. The LE, no document at all, but it has a perfectly good number plate on the front mudguard that indicates the age, rather, because, you know, in earlier times most bikes had to have front number plates, which later they didn't. And the number plate clearly depicts the registration number, but I have no document for it. Whether I've lost it or the previous owner lost it and didn't give it me, I don't know. Difficult to say exactly. I would say about 1954. It's about 190-something cc, known as the 200, used by the police and known as the Grey Ghost, I'm told. Or then it had another number. Oh yes, another funny name. A Noddy Bike. Isn't it sweet? Noddy Bike. Well, I'm completely open to offers. I mean, compared with the others, very, very much less. What? I don't know. Well, I mean, I get a figure out of Austin Blauenhimmel, out of the blue heavens, say £300 or something less, I would have thought. Needs a lot of work, of course. Now, over and above that, it's worth mentioning, I have said it already, because of my Deutsche Gründlichkeit, my German thoroughness, I was in fear all the time, or in all the many years, and I've lived here 46 years, that my B-33s might one day be unusable for lack of spares, which of course had become obsolete. So what did I do with my Deutsche Gründlichkeit? I invested for years and years and years in buying in all available spare parts for B-33, B-31, with the result that I now sit. I mean, I could never have known. It's as though I had some, and for Arnold, some supernatural prediction of the pensions crisis or something. I couldn't have known it, but thank God I did. Because I now have what is described by visiting clients here who want to buy things from me. They say, when they look at these things, they gasp. And they say this is the largest store of material B-33 and B-31 BSA anywhere in Britain, quote unquote. Several people say the same thing, so that presumably there must be something in it. So whatever, if you were to buy either of these machines, you would have an unending supply, as long as I'm alive, of these parts. I mean, any and every part you can possibly imagine, including frames, engines, gearboxes, clutches, front forks, mudguards, and so on. Yes, do, absolutely. I wish I had a photograph, but I don't think I have. Do. If you come, I better warn you certain things. I have various disabilities developed through old age. I have torn muscles and ligaments and other parts of my body that don't work. So if you come, any heaving, lifting, tugging, dragging, moving, uncovering tarpaulins, but also very important, putting them carefully back again afterwards, will all have to be done by you. All I can do is to observe and advise. Windsor. Where Windsor? You check it minutely and check it all out. As I say, very slow, low performance things, incredibly reliable. I forgot to tell you, cast iron cylinder head, which of course all goes along with slow heat dissipation and therefore low performance. Anything else you'd like to know?
No, I think that's it for the moment. I'll give you a call back in 1 minute.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Okay,
bye bye.
The motorcycle has two wheels and handlebars to steer it. It's fun to drive, and when you drive, everyone can hear it. Yeah!
I love it, man. It's the greatest.
Let's climb on our motorcycle and stand up with legs apart. Something like climbing on a bicycle.
Now, let's start the motorcycle by lifting our right foot high in the air and bringing it down to the floor with a stomp. Do this a few times, cat, until your motorcycle starts.
Now we're ready to go. Hold the handlebars tight and steer with them. Turn your right hand from one side to the other. This will give our motorcycle a gas to make us go slow or fast.
Wow! We started off on a bumpy, lumpy road, and we're bumping up and down as if we're on a pogo stick.
Hold on tight and press down the brake with your left foot and squeeze the handbrake with your right hand. We're coming to a red light, and a red light means stop.
Green light, green light. What's wrong? Our motorcycle is stalled and we have to start all over again. So lift your right foot up in the air and bring it down to the floor with a stomp. There, we're ready to go again.
This is a smooth road, but so full of twists and turns. We have to lean our bodies as far as we can to one side, then to the other side, and again to one side, so far that people think we will fall. But our spinning wheels keep us in perfect balance.
Here comes another red light, Cat. Put on the brakes, left foot down and right hand squeeze.
Green light. Now the road is straight and smooth. So stand up on the seat of your motorcycle and do fancy tricks. Stand on one foot, spread your arms and bow. Now bow backwards.
Look out! We're off the road and heading right for a little lake. Nothing we can do but keep bowing and smiling. It might help if we swim a bit.
Dry us off. Let's head for a home and drive right into our garage. There. Through the door and over the floor and up the wall and across the ceiling and
down the wall and over the floor and up the wall and across the ceiling.
Captain Seven, who is there?
Glenn. I left a message earlier saying I would like Richard to ring me because there are certain aspects of my motor car insurance with which I am not happy and which are not satisfactory. He hasn't rung me yet. I'm determined that this matter shall be resolved today, and it's the last day of the week. Can I speak to Andrew if Richard is not available, please? Thank you.
Old, when maidens were fair and knights were bold.
The girls were pretty. They could curtsy and bow.
And the boys wore their hair long, just like now.
But storybooks tell us all was not rosy, because there were dragons, nasty and nosy. So girls, dance gently, hold your skirts, and be fair maidens from the year 1200 A.D.
Now everyone grow big with a green tail, a wagon, for you are a fearsome, fiery dragon. Ride a horse and hold on tight, for you are a brave, courageous knight. Gallop around in a fearless way and frighten that terrible dragon away.
Come on,
would you kindly hold the line a minute? Could you tell me how you heard of it? Right. Could you give me your name, please?
Mr. Grant. G-R-A-T-T-I-N.
And your first name?
Paul.
Thank you. And your landline telephone number?
780.
Zero 1932.
Yes, right,
Mr. Grattan, what would you like to know about it?
The price, if for a microphone, it would work.
I see. Well, I'll explain the situation if I may. It's all rather complicated and it's a rather sad business. First of all, I'm very ancient. I'm 77.
Right.
How old are you?
60.
Are you? Not so far behind. You're coming on well. Right. How old is your friend? I see. He's interested in very old motorbikes, is he? What sort of age of motorbikes did you have? Yes. Yes. What year was that? So, 1930 was the oldest. Yes, I see. Well, now, here is my problem. Have you heard about the pensions collapse?
Yes.
You know a bit about that. Right. Well, I'm one of the many afflicted people. I'm down 46%, less than half, of what I used to get on my annuity due to this pensions collapse. And that is not merely a problem of the present. It is an ongoing problem right up till my death, whenever that may be. So you'll appreciate it's a very serious problem, and I've got to offset it as well as I can by selling off things which normally I would keep for sentimental reasons.
Yes.
But this motorbike is one. Now, in view of the ongoing nature of this problem, going on till I die, who knows, it may be tomorrow, it may be in 10 years, I have to be very, very careful that I do not undersell anything, because my whole financial future depends on it. So what I can't offer to do is to sell it as a sort of cheap bargain.
Right.
I've got to make sure I get the best price I can, and that may mean taking a series of bids, noting them down, and at the end of the day selling to the highest bidder if he's high enough. And if he's not high enough, maybe keeping the bike for another year or 2 or 5 years longer, in which time the price will appreciate and sell it then.
Okay.
So it's all, I'm afraid, very complicated and awkward and difficult. Right. Having said that, I've had it for more decades than I can say. I have a document for it, a registration document in my name. Now, tell me, you with experience of various old motorbikes, have you ever heard of any motorcycle of any make or from any country whose swept volume was 5.57 cc?
No.
You see, if it was 5.97, one would say that's perfectly normal. But 5.57 appears to be very, very strange indeed. So strange that I have yet to find anybody who has one, or anyone who knows anyone who also has one. So that seems to show that this motorbike is either unique, which is unlikely, or more probably, that it's very rare. And in either of those cases, it would mean that the selling price would be very high, simply because of the rarity.
Yeah.
So it looks as though that may turn out to be a compensation, because I may be able to get a very good price for it. Now, it's averted. The next thing about it is this. The commonplace BSA of that period had a sloping engine, and was therefore known as the Sloper. Well, this is not a sloper, it is a vertical engine.
Right.
Side valve, air-cooled, four-stroke, of course. The petrol tank is a square box-shaped thing. And the petrol tank includes an oil tank inside, so there are two filler caps. There are two oil pumps, a mechanical pump, which has failed and broken up because it was made of monkey metal. And a hand pump, which doesn't matter in the least, because there's a perfectly good hand pump as well, so one simply uses the bike using the hand oil pump on the tank.
Right.
Now, are you familiar with 1930? You probably don't know about hand oil pumps.
Yes, I have seen them.
Well, every 5 miles you have to pump it once down. And if you forget, the engine seizes up and destroys itself. So it's absolutely vital that every 5 miles you give it one push. And when you give it a push, there's a cloud of smoke because the engine is initially over-oiled, you see what I mean? And then gradually as the oil level in the sump drops, the smoke diminishes and goes away, and so the engine gets less and less oil towards the end of the 5 miles. And when the 5 miles is exhausted, it is absolutely imperative that you must give that pump another squirt. It's got, it doesn't have footrests at all. It has running boards, one on the left and one on the right, which accommodate the full length and width of the foot, and therefore from the medical, orthopedic point of view, they are much better than foot rests, because the weight of the foot is evenly distributed over the whole area of the foot, which is supported throughout, instead of support being limited to a small narrow area of a little bar. You see what I mean? At the front end of the running boards, there are vertical, upstanding things, rather like mudguards. They're straight, and these are made of sheet metal, and they are to guard the knees and the shins of the rider. So the legs are effectively enclosed in little steel channels. Well, not little, big. They're about 6 inches, 8 inches deep, and they're as high as the tank of the bike. What else can I tell you about it? You better ask me some questions.
What sort of price are you
Well, here's the difficulty. I don't know. All I can do is to say at this stage it goes to the best bidder. I would think that it's probably worth a great deal of money simply because I haven't found anybody who's got one. Have you found anybody who's got one? Yes. Right. Makes sense. Okay, see what you can find out. No. I have two others of the 1955 and 60, B33. No B33, BSA? I see.
The other one that I had, I couldn't afford a car to put with you, and the bike came up. So I got the bike.
Yes, of course.
I can't ride a bike.
Oh, I see.
Although I brought them, I couldn't ride in the car.
Of course, yes.
He decided that he's going to do the old bikes.
Yes. Where are you located? Oh yes, yes. I'm near Windsor.
Yes, I'm not very far away.
Now what did I want to ask you? Cars. Are you also interested in cars?
Cars, yes.
Well now, I've got a very, very odd... everything I have seems to be very odd or very unique. And this is true here too. You see, I'm what you call bloody foreigner. I'm half Hanoverian German, half French, and partly English.
All right.
So many things in my life are not English. Including what is coming now. You know the German make Daimler Mercedes?
Yes.
That's right. Now, I have a very, very, very rusted wreck. I emphasize the point of rusted wreck. Of what once was a Daimler Mercedes of 1955. Now, again, it's an odd man out. Because experts will come to tell me that, although it is a fearfully rusted wreck, is an incredibly sought-after and rare specimen of a type of car which was only ever made in very, very, very small numbers. It has been described as a presidential car, or a car which would be supplied only to very senior diplomats, such as ambassadors. And this apparently can be identified by certain peculiar features of the car compared with other Mercedes cars of that period. For example, it has some peculiar sort of sliding roof, which I don't understand, which opens and shuts, and that has a bearing on it. Also, you know, the front seat of a car is usually in one long piece, both seats being in one lump. Well, on this one, they're not in one lump. They are in two lumps. There is by the way, it is, of course, I forgot to tell you, it is, of course, made for Germany. So it is left-hand drive. Left-hand drive. And it has two seats in the front, which move independently of one another, one for the driver and one for the passenger. And this also makes it uniquely extraordinary. And there are other features such as that. What they are, don't ask me. I'm not an expert on these things. Anyhow, I've owned it for many, many years, something like 30 years or so. The poor thing is terribly neglected. It has been standing out of doors under a tarpaulin for, years, something like that. Something, you see, I had at the time two Mercedes. I had this one and I had another one. The one I'm now offering for sale is a 220 R. 220 A for Apple. A for Apple, I emphasize. The other one which I had was a perfectly common or garden Mercedes. It was called 220 S. 220S for sugar. Now that was a commonplace car. It was a red one. By the way, the one I'm offering to sell is blue. Now the red one was in going order, and something went wrong with the blue one, the one I'm offering to sell, with the engine. And I was told it would be very expensive to mend it. And as I didn't have much money to mend it, I took the line of least resistance and continued using the red one, which was in going order, and just left the broken down one under the tarpaulin out in the grounds of the house, where it has stood ever since, getting worse and worse and more rusty. Well, there it is. Now, I don't know if that's of any interest to you or anybody you know.
I would like to see it if I could.
Yes. Now let me warn you something else. I have various physical disabilities, and I have torn muscles and joints that don't work properly, and I can't lift or carry or heave or drag anything.
Right.
So if you come here, which you're welcome to do, subject to first making an appointment, you will have to do all heaving and dragging and lifting and moving and carrying. But you will also have to remove any tarpaulins that may have to be removed, and this latter is most important, you must put them all carefully back again afterwards so that the rain doesn't ruin the things which those tarpaulins protect.
Right, yes, I understand all that, yes.
Are you able to do all that?
Yes, I'll be able to do that.
You can. Well, that's the sum of the situation. Now, how much that old Bent's rusted wreck is worth, I can't tell you. All I can do is to say I wait for offers, and I then write them down, and it may be some time before I can say who gets it.
Right you are.
Have you any idea what such a thing is worth?
Not a clue.
Not I.
No,
makes two of us.
To be true, I've not a clue.
What kind of cars have you got?
At the moment, I've got a Riley 1.5.
Riley?
Yes.
Oh, that's an interesting piece. What year is that?
46.
Oh, really?
It's 1.5 litre.
Yes.
Before that, I had the AC 2 litre.
Oh, another interesting car. Yes. The AC used to have crossed stays at the front over the headlamps.
No, this one is the 52 model.
Yes. Do you know the one I mean, the earlier ones? Had those crossed over anti-vibration stays, I think they were, for the headlamps.
That's right, it went from the wheels down to the chassis.
That's it?
That's the one, yes.
That gave the car a very characteristic look.
Yes. I've always had a small car.
Yes.
Except for the short time when I had the bike.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, that's interesting. Well, anyway, let me know whether you want to come, and if so, when. And, oh, another thing, please only come when the weather is not too cold and not too wet, because my health suffers if I'm exposed to either of those. And, of course, it isn't good for your health either. And the other point is that as it's sort of winter time, it's important to come when there's daylight, when you can see what's going on. There's a certain amount of solar warmth about. So I would suggest you come not earlier than 10:30 in the morning, not later than about, this time, 3:15 in the afternoon.
I'll have a little check up on the bike for him.
Yes.
Think about the car.
Yes.
And the car is a German Mercedes.
Yes. 220 A for Apple. Now, it was first left the factory in April 1955 in Germany, and it was first used and licensed in Germany. It only came to England much later, and it was registered in England in 1963. And it's... do you want its exact CC or not?
No, I'll check up on that.
Good. And as I say, it is this peculiar... Some people say that there were only 70 of these cars made, and others say that there were only 50 of them made. I cannot tell you which is correct.
Right,
well, I don't know. But it's obviously a rare bird.
Right. I'll check up on that.
Good. Well, nice to hear from you.
And I'll give you a ring back, possibly. Saturday or Sunday, I'll give you a ring.
Yes, by all means.
Right, you are.
With a view to coming when?
Any time to suit you, because I'm not working.
I see. Well, let's just have a look, just to get an idea of what's going on. Hang on. Yes, now, Monday appears to be all right. Tuesday is not good. Well, let's jump that hurdle when we get to it.
Right, you are, then, yes.
But,
I'll give you a ring either tomorrow or something.
I wish you happy researching.
Yes. Right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good afternoon. Well, you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. Today's programme was tape 94 from the Seddon tapes. Captain Seddon, Royal Signals retired, who recorded phone conversations over a cassette that he found in the local tip, and resulting in an accidental and unlikely superimposition. The cassette was labelled by Captain Seddon as unerasable. Well, it's 10 minutes left. Next week sees the start of a Wavelength Gospel Month, starting off with Bob Parks, who's been on the show a couple of times. He will be coming on playing selections of gospel music from the Church of God in Christ at Tottenham, where he frequently goes. And so as a sort of preview of next month's shows, I shall play out with some gospel music, starting with Aretha Franklin, Songs of Faith.
To the garden, alone, where the dew is still on the roses, and the voice
tarry there, oh, none other, none other. at the sound. The sound. No!